Hello, and welcome to Trey Beckert's GovCon podcast, where we discuss current government contracting trends, compliance matters, and best practices to guide federal contractors forward. I'm Brendan Halloran, Senior Manager with Trey Beckert, and with me today is Roy Rushing, a manager in Trey Beckert's Government Contractor Advisory Services Group. As part of our continuing series on contractor business systems, today we'll be talking about navigating business systems, audits, and reviews. Thanks for joining me today, Roy. So I guess the big question is, why are we talking about how to navigate through business systems, audits, or reviews? And I think that that's probably quite clear that with the goal being to obtain a adequate or approved business system is really critical to doing business with the government. And just to further clarify, as we've talked through each of the business systems, we've talked quite a bit about the two primary agencies that are conducting these. And so, again, you have really two levels of that. One is a more of a functional review. Those are conducted by DCMA, and then you have actual audit programs conducted by DCAA. And so, again, just to recap, DCAA has responsibility for accounting, estimating, and MMAS, and DCMA does EVMS property and purchasing systems. So, as everyone can imagine, it's definitely a major undertaking, and certainly there is a lot of effort on the part of a contractor as they work through these business system audits or reviews. So not only kind of preparation for them, but through the duration, it definitely will be a focused effort for contractors to be timely with responses, to ensure that they're providing current, accurate, complete information. And some of the things that that really will help along the way is just having a good routine for preparation, and really following just some kind of standard protocols to really try to avoid findings or deficiencies or issues as a result of the review. So just to kind of get into the process, once you've received notification that an audit or review is planned, what are some of the early steps you should take, Roy?
Well, there's a few. When you have a contract that's going to either be CAS covered or have business system requirements with the clauses, you should know that they're in your contract, and you should be prepared to have a plan that some audits are coming. First thing you should be prepared for is, to have an expectation that, one, there are going to be requests. There are going to be requests for information, some data calls. And you should be prepared for some walkthroughs with the agency on the data that they're requesting or the data that they've received. The other thing is you're going to want to have a good documented policy and procedure. You want to keep your policies and procedures current, because they're going to be looking at those policies and procedures to ensure that they're adherent with the requirements of the DoD business systems. You're going to want to put your best people in front of these auditors. So you're going to have a subject matter expert or your staff that can speak to the individual areas or the data being requested. You don't want to put someone in there that's guessing or looking for the work. You want your functional SME or staff that's going to be there. For instance, your accounting, billing, your estimators, your pricing folks, and then, if it's a CPSR, you're going to want your procurement and supply chain folks out there. So there are going to be a lot of requests for information. I would suggest putting together a tracking tool as well, because as these funnel in, of course, DCAA or DCMA is going to have a time frame associated with it, and they're going to want to have several requests, and they're going to want to make sure that they're getting it, and you want to make sure that they're getting the information they're asking for. So also, you want to make sure that your folks, going back to your folks, are well-trained or properly trained in the areas that they're discussing. And then once you've had that, gain a clear understanding of the audit or the review program that's being requested. So don't be afraid to ask questions and get feedback from the agency. Any other thoughts or things we should look into leading up to an auditor review, Brendan?
Yeah, no, and you raised some really good points, Roy, you know, particularly around, you know, kind of staffing to support that. You definitely want to have folks who, you know, can really keep things within the scope of the review or audit program and, you know, not get off base or lead the auditor down a path to, you know, potentially another area that they want to look at. So really good, good advice there. But yeah, I mean, some of the things that contractors should keep in mind is that, you know, in many cases, some of the, you know, turnaround timing for, you know, requests for information or data calls, some of those can be, you know, pretty tight and aggressive on behalf of the government. So definitely, you know, once you've received the notification and once things are underway, you definitely, you know, want to be paying very close attention to that. In some cases, things will be requested that are not, you know, realistic timeframes to either, you know, pull the data. You may have staff who's, you know, away on PTO. So really, you know, kind of looking at those requests as they come in, if there's going to be any kind of delay to that, you know, flag that, you know, right at the onset so that you can potentially, you know, ask for or negotiate, you know, some additional time if needed. You know, and so they're not always flexible on that, but you know, if it's going to be you know, not practical to meet that, or you would have any concern about providing the data without, you know, time to review prior to submitting, definitely, you know, try and leverage that. And that really just kind of plays back to you know, monitoring this very closely. One of the other things too is, you know, really the, you know, kind of the additional preparation. So, you know, not that there will always be a significant amount of time before things get started, but for, you know, anticipating, you know, for instance, that you may have initial walkthrough of the system, you know, is to really utilize that time to, you know, plan that out. You know, you'll typically get, you know, what the expectation of, you know, what you would cover as part of an initial walkthrough or a follow-up. And use that to really lay out exactly what you're going to walk, you know, the auditor or reviewer through. And that could be to the extent of even, you know, preparing, you know, a presentation that covers all the steps so that you can actually pull up, you know, screenshots or examples of things that are, you know, you're not kind of, you know, scrambling to pull, you know, pull a record up in the system. So the more that you can, you know, really lay that out, you know, and I'll go so far as to say, you know, kind of do a, you know, a trial run of it and kind of rehearse, you know, what you're going to go through so that it goes smoothly. Obviously there could certainly be questions that come up, you know, during the course of it, but the more that you can keep that, you know, to answering exactly what they need, and planning to be able to get through that, it'll make it certainly efficient during that time frame. Obviously, it's a fair amount of work on behalf of contractors, but you know, from our experience, is well worth it. Another thing to keep in mind too is, you know, Roy, you mentioned, you know, really kind of understanding what that audit or review program is and what it requires. And so, one of the things that you want to be on the lookout for is, you know, if a line of questions or requests kind of go outside of what the scope of the audit is for, you know, you certainly want to provide, you know, the data that's needed to do the testing or, you know, perform the review. But you also want to be cognizant that, you know, sometimes they may have requests that kind of go outside of the bounds of that. And so you may want to reel that in a little bit. So, you know, the more you know kind of the direction of the question, what it's, you know, trying to accomplish and how, the better. And definitely, you know, engaging, you know, depending on, you know, the company size. I mean, senior leadership and management may be, you know, fairly heavily involved. But if not, definitely make sure that they have visibility and are engaged in the process, because, you know, that is, you know, very valuable in terms of, you know, one, getting resources if any are needed to either support the review, or if you have findings or deficiencies, you really want to have, leadership involved to, make the tools and resources available to correct some of those items. So those are definitely some things to, just be thinking about internally and planning for as you go through. With that, what are some of the typical kind of timing and scheduling considerations with these, Roy?
Well, it depends on which system's being looked at. And then once again, DCA and DCMA are going to have different timing when it comes to it. But you could expect with DCA, you're going to see something pretty quick after the award. They can start and completion date for business system audits can be anywhere from, 6 to 12 months. But, you can hear from them three months after award asking for inquiries for documents or just looking for some walkthroughs on some certain aspects of the business or systems that they're looking into for accounting. DCMA, they could be a little sooner. They could be and have pre-work assignment and data calls that are coming in. Initially, they're going to come out with RFIs and questionnaires, but ultimately, you should be, as I said before, be prepared to conduct complete walkthroughs and go through the questionnaires and the back and forth of answering. Make sure you're tracking it. Scheduling of a walkthrough could be within weeks for an accounting system. Once again, I said DCA would probably be pretty quick on that one to ask for, scheduling of some kind of initial walkthrough RFI or questionnaires. So once you get an audit review and it's started, what are some of the pointers to navigate the process there, Brendan?
Yeah, no, and I think we've touched on a couple of them. Obviously, can't reinforce, the preparation and really spending the time and making sure that you can focus on the support. Roy, you mentioned the kind of the RFI or request for information tracking, just as an example of, a tool that, a contractor can easily use is, one, obviously you want to know that you're, answering every inquiry that's coming in. Allows you to track your, your due dates. When did you actually respond? And, it definitely is important to provide a level of detail. So if, you have a RFI number one, request for X reports, certainly provide some details so that you can fall back on that if needed in terms of, here are the, file names or reports or information that was specifically provided for that request. And, the reason that, we're, spending a little bit of time on that is, some of the, auditor reviews can go on for an extended period of time. Sometimes there's even turnover on the audit team. And you certainly don't want to, be penalized for not, providing information or, not responding when in fact you did. I've found that, contractors who really do monitor that can fall back on that and say, well, we actually on such and such date, we did provide, these reports and it was timely and complete. So again, it really just gives you a record of how that went. It also gives you, an idea of, if there's something that is, flagged as, potential finding or an issue, then you can actually kind of follow exactly, what information or data that was found in. So it really is, a simple but very valuable step. Couple of other, just kind of pointers, is that, if you're getting, a question or a request that's posed, by the auditor or reviewer that you're not really unsure of or, not sure that the data that you can pull as part of a standard report, for instance, is what is needed, definitely, ask follow-up and clarifying questions. You don't want to just send something back that, doesn't meet the mark, or in some cases worse, is something that's, way off base and, may going to give you some additional audit exposure. So again, as we mentioned before, you know, guiding those meetings and walkthroughs, and that really falls back on, you know, having someone who's, you know, very familiar with the program, you know, can really talk to the functional area, knows what's being provided. So really that experience is important. And then lastly, you know, and again, this is, you know, should probably go go without saying, but, you know, really have, you know, make an effort to have good communication and keep good rapport with, you know, with that either functional review team or the audit team. You know, it's not always possible to, you know, to do that easily, but certainly being clear in communication, kind of gaining that, you know, kind of working relationship is really important, not only during the course of the audit or the business system review, but, you know, if there are issues detected or findings that are cited, you really want to be able to work with them, because if you have to develop a corrective action plan, you know, they're likely the ones who are going to be, you know, reviewing that for adequacy and, you know, perhaps doing follow-up review or testing to ensure that it's complete. So to definitely make an effort to, you know, keep good communication, keep those lines open, will go a long way, you know, during and after the business system review. So again, I think a lot of those go without saying, but definitely reinforce, because I think we've seen, you know, where, you know, if there's, you know, not a great, you know, relationship or communication's a little bit choppy, that definitely causes issues. So anyhow, with that, that's, you know, quite a few of the areas, but, you know, any other thoughts, Roy, you know, that contractors should be, you know, aware of as they either are in or perhaps looking to be under review of their business systems?
Yes, sir. There certainly are. But I would like to touch on that maintaining good communication or rapport. Just recently, I was reading an article from SBA regarding audits, and kind of reminded me back when I was a contracting officer, and I was audited every couple of years or so, and so was my team that I was supervising. And, you know, the auditors, and they pointed this out as well, the auditors have a lot of work, they're overworked, and they have a tight schedule, and all they want to do is get through the audit as well. And as long as the contractor can have the information that they're looking for, that is promptly provided and sufficient, your audit will go a whole lot better. But what really I thought was key to this is that it's also a human factor in an audit. There are people involved. And, you know, I could tell you in the past when I was a contract officer and someone was auditing my work, sometimes it could feel personal, something that they didn't like some of the findings that they had found. And one of the responses that I think was just really good advice was, you know, don't take it personally and don't antagonize your auditor. Just, you know, develop that relationship, get them what they need when they need it, and try to just get them to the finish line with the best communication and cooperation that you can. And then once we're talking about just getting through the audit, the effort of getting through an audit or successfully or completing your audit to get an approved system, I mean, this just provides it's extremely valuable because it provides opportunities for the future. Once you have an approved business system, you can go after opportunities that weren't available to you before. You know, so that's just a great like check in the block to have, because it makes it easier for evaluation teams, and, you know, they don't have to question your system. I mean, they can automatically see when it was approved. And then once a system is approved, everybody, the work's not done. Unfortunately, or I shouldn't say unfortunately, but there is continued work. You have to stay current and you have to stay compliant. It's not something you can do as a one and done. It's something that has to be maintained. So those of you that are out there that are looking at getting business systems or already have an approved system, make sure that you're constantly keeping your policies and procedures current and that you're ready for the next round. And that's about it. You got anything else, Brendan?
Yeah, no, great, great thoughts there, Roy. I mean, particularly on, you know, the kind of the personal factor there is that, you know, everyone's, you know, trying to accomplish their work and get through the, you know, audit review, and keeping that, you know, at the front of your mind is definitely important. So, no, great, great advice. So no, hopefully we've given everyone, you know, some thoughts on, you know, if you have a review or audit that you're preparing for or anticipating, even in the, you know, somewhat distant future, there's a lot of work that you can be doing to be ready for that when that requirement is in place. So I know one of the, you know, next things we'll talk about in a future podcast is, you know, really, you know, once that audit or review is complete, you know, if there are, you know, findings or non-compliances or deficiencies cited, you know, what are some of the steps that you need to work through in terms of, you know, potential corrective actions and also the determination process on system status. So, so definitely stay tuned for that in the future. So everybody, thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, feel free to email Roy at roy.rushing@cbh.com or myself at brendan.halloran@cbh.com. And please join us again for our next podcast.